Welcome back to Talking Insights and the next installment of our special series, Pulling Around the World. Today, we're turning our focus to Asia, a region as diverse as it is populous, home to over half the world's population. Asia's electoral landscape is vibrant and its polling industry is rapidly evolving, driven by technological innovation and unique cultural dynamics. So, joining us today, we have Parijat Chakraborty. He's the India Leads Public Affairs Corporate Reputation ESG CSR at Ipsos India. Such a big title for such a big man. You have such a vast experience in the Indian markets, from enhancing process and benchmarks to attract the right talent to the industry. And you already even got some awards for this. So I feel like you're actually the right person and the perfect expert to talk about how polling works in Asia and India. And I wanted to start just with that. Asia is home for such a diverse and cultural diverse electoral systems. Like, there's each country is so different. And I wanted to talk about that. Like, how does that diversity impact the way that polling is conducted? And what are some of the unique challenges that pollsters face in the region?
Yeah, you got it right. Asia is too diverse to draw any common theme in political polling, because the political structures are also very different in different markets, different countries. So the evolution of political research also had been very different in different countries. Countries like India, Singapore, Korea, Australia, here it is pretty developed as an industry, political research as an industry, while in some other markets it's pretty elementary for the matter. Like in India, it's quite a mature science, I would say, developed over more than six decades. The huge population and the inherent complexities of the political context of this country made things even more challenging for the cephalologist. So over a period of time, it has become an artistic mix of different streams of sciences, like statistics, behavioral science, psychology, ethnology, analytics, complex data integrations, so and so. And there is a layer of art to decide how much of which science is to be used for what purpose. There is no one simple or single shortcut way to do, you know, good quality political research in India. That's thanks to the complexities. And that is true for pretty much every corner of Asia.
Right. And what roles do some factors, urbanization or the technological advancements, how does those types of factors drive growth in polling, in especially in India, but all around Asia?
Like we have seen last couple of decades, we have seen a huge amount of growth on many aspects, urbanization, technology adoption, and literacy rates have changed. Internet adoption has changed significantly, and which has led to a lot of difference in the way people consume news, the feedback, the narratives, the biases. Everything is undergoing change. And this change is only increasingly getting faster. We are observing things getting faster. And as a result, for any political researcher, it's fooling understand these changes happening, and it's these changes are not unique. That is the biggest challenge. You find some part of the market, some part of Asia, some part of India, these changes are very fast adopting, while some of the cohorts will find things are still stuck on the earlier generation, earlier phase of adoption, and only making things more complex for all of us. And thus making it fun for us.
And I can imagine that, especially when it comes with technology, the exponential growth of technology, these past few years, I can imagine that it made an impact, especially in India, the way that the surveys are made and the social media analysis. I feel like that's kind of changed things a bit, right?
It is. And I would say pretty much, you see Asia as one. It's a collage of different shapes and different colors. And if you zoom in within India, you actually see more diversities. And as a result, some of the covered the adoption of mobile social media are creating significant impact. While in some cases it is not so much, some places it is having a direct impact, some places it is having an indirect impact, and so and so. For example, countries like Korea, Japan, you can do a very good polling mainly based on your online interviews. But that won't be sufficient in many other countries. Like you need in-person interviews in most of the countries, including India, to get a proper representation. Because as a researcher, your objective is to ensure that you have taken everybody's views, right? Because the politics touches everybody. It's not a soap or a toothpaste or an automobile that only a target group, specific target group is relevant for you. Now, in this context, mobile does help in many countries, in many contexts, in some segments of the society, in some contexts. But again, is it really the one only generic approach that we can take through mobile? No, it has to be complemented with something else. And at times that something else could be in-person interviews or other feeds, other sources. Same with social media. It's definitely a very big enabler of narratives that's happening in the political context in the country, particularly among the upwardly mobile population, younger populations and all. But does it mean that is the mood of the country? Not necessarily, because there are many who are away from this, at least directly. So each of these technology-driven innovations have their specific roles, specific niches, and also their limitations. So that the art of modern age political polling, I would say, it relies on this mix of these options in an optimum way, depending on the societal or the political context that you are going to research in this country.
And I'm really happy that you mentioned the in-person interviews, because I can imagine like how hard it is to get, especially in like rural populations, how hard it is to get like in-person interviews, especially in those areas.
Yeah, you said it right. Rural is important for political research. It's hugely important. Like if you see Asia, almost half of the population lives in rural. And in India, the figure is even skewed. 9% as per the latest census of India, 69% of the population lives in rural parts of the country. So the polling in rural is extremely important, but it's very different from urban. There are similarities and extreme dissimilarities within different pockets of rural. So it's rural is not one monolithic area where I do a dipstick and then I'm done with. Especially in a country like India, where the diversities are mind-blowing across different parts of the geographical parts of the country or different societal elements of the population, it is extremely important for us to understand the historical context, cultural context, psychological context, so that we can even include things like behavioral science, which is an integral part of political research. It's no more a pure statistical analysis anymore. You have layered it with so much of other understanding so that you can understand contexts like rural even better. Because it is only making things more and more complex every year.
Yeah, and I can imagine like in those areas, in those populations, like the impact of things like the culture and like even religion and they, I mean, you will probably have like the best answer to this, but I mean, I can imagine that in India, each city, each population is so different from one another that the way that you do polling in one, it's not the same as you do in just a couple hundred kilometers away. So you really have to have some special sense on how to do it, right? And the way that the communities are organized and everything, like how do you approach it? How do you like get, answers from them?
No, it's definitely the big question mark always in the mind of a researcher who is trying to do some political research in a country like India, for example. because of the complexities. Like in Ipsos, we do political research in more than 40 countries, out of some 90-odd countries where we are operating. But we find India is the most complex country to do any political research. And there are many reasons for that, because you have to consider so many factors, so many things that you need to keep in mind and plan for. For example, the population itself is huge, right? And it is the most populous country today. That is the first degree of challenge. And the challenge doesn't end there, it only starts there. You have diversities across different parts of the country. You have languages. There are more than 25 major languages. And one part don't understand the language of the other part of the country. There's a huge difference of ethnicity difference, cultural difference, food, race. You name it. There are so much of differences. In fact, there are differences in the history. There are differences in the conflict. Somebody who is a hero in one part of the country can be actually a devil in the other part of it, you know, from cultural perspective. So you name a complexity, you will find it in India, I guarantee you. Now, yeah. More diverse and complex than probably entire Europe put together, you see that complexity in India. The third, we have too many political parties, and they are fractions, right? Unlike many other developed countries where the number of parties playing in the game are not really as many.
Yeah.
The fourth, we have 30 plus major states, which put together becomes India. And they have that unique combination of parties. So that means a combination of parties. Somebody is a ruler, somebody ruling party, somebody is the major opposition in one state. You cross the border, the entire configuration changes. Somebody who is a ruling party in one state may not be even existing in the neighboring state. Forget about whether it is, you know, a major one or a minor one. It may not even exist there as a party. Next, we have too many caste fragments. And that's a part of our super complex caste system that India has. And caste do play a strong role in the electoral narratives, decision-making, influences, and etc. We also have a huge access diversity in terms of access to technology, access to all kinds of, across this entire pyramid of the society. There are some people who are at the upper end of the pyramid. They have a very different kind of access, while the people on the base of the pyramid has a completely different kind of access. So there is no one single approach or methodology that can cover all segments with equal rigor. The parties, each of the parties, all parties, play very localized pre-poll change of narratives or specific interventions, etc., which changes the sentiment significantly. So what you have captured maybe 7 days prior to an election does not necessarily hold true maybe 2 days prior to the election. So those changes, some of these changes that may not be unique to India, it's happening in many other countries as well. But some of these being so unique to India, it makes it very difficult for a researcher to really do a shortcut job. So only way you can do a political research, good political research polling in India is to do a good job. Otherwise, it will not be of any. And all this make it not only complex. I'm talking about, opinion poll done with some online survey, automated mobile survey, or some social media analytics on the mood of the nation, trends, etc. Those I would not really call a proper political research, which is addressing the entire length and breadth of the issues of the country or representing the entire population. They're probably barely scratching the surface of this complex sphere that we have. I'm not saying they are bad. I'm not saying that they are not doing any good, but those are very specific purpose. But if anything that we need to do, touching the entire sphere of things, that time it makes it public.
That's so interesting and a great answer. I got curious about one thing that you said, and I kept like that in the back of my mind, that you were mentioning like some parties, you have some parties in one part of the country, but then if you go to just the neighbors, the neighbor part, there's like those parties are not even there. When you're presenting the polling results, how do you work with that? So like, is it when you do the polling results, is like a countrywide or is it by a party? I was just curious about it.
Yeah. And it's like that. Let's understand how Indian political structure is existing today. Obviously, we have the central federal government, right? And we have the states, as we call it. And the states have their own political combinations. Now, the same party can be running for the national election as well as state elections. It's not exactly like the way United States operate. It's a little different, right? The state assembly or the state government elections happen separately, and that has nothing to do with the central election, so to say. Yes, there are some mingling, you can say, and it happens at very different times. It's not aligned at the same time. Now the governments which are formed at the state level, there may be two or three political parties who are fighting with each other to get the leading position, get the ruling positions, and all, and it keeps on changing. It's, sometimes this party comes into the power and sometimes some other party is replacing that. That keeps on happening. While maybe the adjoining state, which may be just 200 kilometers away, the combination could be very different. So what do we need to do in such cases? That when we're doing a national election, we need to take into account the state-wise diversities. So typically, we need to stratify our approach at a state level. Like, for example, we can't do a sample at India level because your sampling variations may bring in a lot of error in this because there is so much of diversities that exist at the state level. So we need to bring down one level to the granular level in sampling approach and etc. at least the major states level, and then put that thing up to come at the national level. This is talking about if you had to do an estimate of, say, the number of seats a particular party is going to get in the upcoming election or number of, percentage of votes, so and so. So those kind of areas, you need to get into this rigor. If it is only an opinion of people that what are the major issues, what are the things that are bothering you, what are the things that you want the government to take care of, and etc., you won't have to get into this level of rigor in this case because you can then represent India population by many different things that you can do. But for a true blue political research where you have to do some predictions, you had to get into this level of complexities.
That's great. Yeah, I was really curious about it. And speaking of the polling and when doing political research, I can imagine that polling also works as a accuracy prediction or an accuracy tool for, I don't know, maybe you can tell me more about it, but like, I can imagine that the way that some polls end up being and the way that some results end up being, if they're too far away, you can sense like there's something wrong in there. And not, maybe not just in India, maybe all over Asia, but I feel like that's some tool that you use, right?
Yeah, true. But there are many occasions where the fact that some political polling prediction has gone wrong, that is highlighted in the media more than it deserves, I would say. So here I can talk on behalf of the entire community, and I came across some data which shows that out of about 4,000 polling predictions they analyzed, and they found that almost 85% of the cases, the polling predictions are correct. So it's only 15% of the cases polling predictions are wrong. Right, which probably very different from the perception some people would be carrying that the polling predictions are often wrong. No, it's sometimes wrong. Well, so that's one part. But having said that, there are challenges. There are so many different ways an error can happen in your estimation, in your predictions. And this I'm talking about not only the statistical error, there are so many other elements. And that's why I talked about that doing a proper political research is not only a matter of understanding politics and understanding statistics. There's so many other layers that we need to really be careful about. Like, for example, there are issues with respect to, apart from the sampling difficulties and etc., which are rather known factor, like what is the voter turnout ratio? That who will, what percentages of people will eventually go out and vote, and what type of people will go out and vote and what type of people will not? That brings in a lot of error. So there is a modeling required for that. There is an issue of, say, shy voters who are either shying away from telling the truth or they are telling something what is not truly their behavior, or they're refusing sometimes. There could be different kinds of weighting errors because at the end of the day, you are dealing with a lot of data, right? Deciding on the number of undecided voters, the vacillating voters who are typically in middle, like you have one type of voters who are kind of decided to vote one party and another type of voter the other party. Now, that's a very, I would say, American concept.
Yeah.
Because you have two. Like, yeah. Imagine a situation where you have four or five dimensions. And on top of that, different issues or different narratives are actually pulling them in multi-directions. What percentages of people are undecided and to what extent they are influenced by which narratives, that makes things even more complex. And obviously, the last moment tactical voting decisions based on the changes of narratives and the interventions that the political parties do. So all these together really makes it interesting. And we need to really factor in all these factors. As a result, we need to understand the history, the issues which are common, which are conflicting, the psychology, the, you know, other contexts in that region, in that caste, in that religion. It makes it real fun.
That's great. And I don't want to take you, I know that you're back to back with meetings, so I don't want to take you much more time of your day, but I want to just finish in a looking ahead away. And I want to ask you, how do you see polling evolving in India and especially in India, but also in the rest of Asia over, you know, like the next decade or so? Like, how do you see it evolving?
Yeah, so I see two types. One is adoption of technology, which is one way going to make it better, going to make it faster, quicker. But at the same time, it may also limit to the extent we can study the population, because the technology does not necessarily cover everybody at the same time to the same extent. So one trend I would imagine will evolve, then more and more use of technology. That's one. So I won't be surprised that if somebody is doing a research and then in 2 days' time coming out of some results and all, those would be more dipstick type in nature. So that's one. The other pressure that the industry is going to face is to reaching out to the people who are difficult to reach, be it rural, be it hidden population, be it other section of the society which are not being so well researched. And that is where these challenges are going to really become even more important for the researchers like us to really overcome, so that we call it that if I'm doing a research, it's the voice of the country, it's the voice of the India, or like that. It's not the voice of a small set of people in this. And to ensure that we follow a proper recommended approach, so that we also want to be careful about knowingly, unknowingly, we step into areas of making mistakes, inviting errors, and so. As an industry body, the Market Research Society of India, and I'm also a part of that, being the treasurer of that, we have laid down clear and detailed processes to do political research in India. What are the do's and don'ts? What are the pitfalls to be careful about? It's a collective responsibility for all players. I mean, all the research companies, all researchers, and clients alike, like media for that matter, to follow these minimum guidelines, particularly if we're going to publish it. because the power of publishing and power of political research is that it may create narratives. It may create no wrong narratives, which is not really what something as a researcher would like to have. That's why, as an industry, we have bigger responsibility in such cases. So in short, I'd say that it's going to be interesting, challenging. It will continue to be a challenging type of research, probably one of the most complex out of all the types of research that happens in the entire market research gamut. And it's going to get more difficult with the advent of technologies, innovations, etc. But that is where the fun is. It's great fun to be a researcher, explore different avenues of this labyrinth.
That's indeed where the fun is. Like, if everything was so easy, like, that wouldn't be fun. It's really interesting and really, I'm really happy to meet people like you and researchers so big in the industry that they just emanate like a happiness for their job and what they do. And I feel like you really like what you do. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much. It was really great. And thanks for taking the time to continue to help out and to teach a younger generation and even not so younger generation. I feel like everyone can learn and with this. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time. And that's it for today, the deep dive into polling in Asia, with a special thanks to Parijat for sharing these incredible insights into how polling is done in this special region. Next week, we'll head to South America to explore how polling captures public sentiment during times of rapid political change. Don't miss it. And just a quick reminder that in a few weeks, SMR is preparing an event in Brussels called the Citizen Insights Summit. Now, this event is designed for anyone from experts, policymakers, industry leaders, and the civil society to join us in the Tone Hotel in Brussels on February 19th so we can explore the intersection of insights, public policy, and democracy. You can find all the information on the show notes, and also please don't forget to like and subscribe. For me, that's all for this week, and I'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.